Speaking on this program is James Watkins.
Recently, we were dealing with the generic and the specific, that is, words that are general, and the use of them is rather broad, and then that same word found in the Word of God, the Scripture. Under the generic concept of the word, there are many things allowable. For instance, we talked of worship, did we not? Now, we're worshiping beings. God created us that way. There is something in our lives that we adore or hold to be of greater significance and value than other things. That's what the Lord's talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. So there is a sense in which we worship, whether it's God or an idol or some man, we're worshiping creatures. However, we noted also that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And we discussed that. So the difference between the general and the specific. I'd like to continue those thoughts with the hope that it might be of some help to each of us in a better understanding of God's Word. Take the frequently used term wood, just plain old wood. If you were to call a lumber company and say, bring me a load of wood, well, say, that leaves his choice wide open. He can bring you oak and elm and cedar or spruce or cypress or any kind of wood. All you ask for is a load of wood. You did not specify. And the term wood is generic. It can be used in various ways, but let's take a Bible use of the term wood and see if we can't learn the basis of our relationship to God. You recall, of course, that familiar story, Genesis chapter 6. The wickedness of man became great in the earth, and every thought and imagination of man's heart came to be evil. Who repented God that He had made man, and He resolved to destroy all in whose nostrils has breathed the breath of life in a great flood. Now, you remember, of course, in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6, that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, grace is unmerited favor. Did Noah deserve this? No. Noah was the kind of character that God respects and appreciates. He was a righteous man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Not perfect, but he wanted to serve the Lord. That's always appreciated. And God loves that kind of person. Noah was not like most of the people of that day, with men taking women of every style, type, and kind, and having children. Noah had one wife, and they had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And at the time of the flood, those boys were married. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, you remember God's instruction to Noah, verse 14, and we'll just paraphrase. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room for, wait. There's our term, wood. Right. Did God say to Noah, make thee an ark of wood? No. As a matter of fact, if he had made that requirement, Noah would have had a choice. Now, just any wood that's available, and cut it from the forest, and Noah was given specific instructions. God specified the type, kind of wood. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Well, someone says, what difference does it make? What wood is, friends, the entire situation here, not simply to instruct me relative to the fact that there was a flood, and there was indeed, also the benefit of my understanding that God does not appreciate nor will He tolerate utter rebellion against Himself. And so sin carries with it a consequence, a punishment. But there is a basic principle here that God is providing for simple persons such as I. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, I remember reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Isn't that wonderful? Through which, of course, he overthrew the world of wickedness, etc., became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. But just a moment. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark? That's correct. By faith. That's an interesting thing. Romans 10, verse 17 tells us, so then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God said to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Friends, that is inclusive and exclusive. That is specific. The only kind of wood that Noah could use in the ark was gopher wood. Well, someone says that he could use any kind of, if he did, it wouldn't float. It wouldn't carry him through the flood. You see, Noah was saved by faith. That's an amazing power, is it not? This thing of, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right. You know, mankind made in the image and the likeness of God is a rational, reasoning creature. There's no question about that. Mother Eve in the Garden of Eden. I mean, look at the beauty of that fruit on that forbidden tree. And more than that, you can just tell by looking at it, that is good food, that's succulent, delicious fruit to eat. I mean, why shouldn't Satan had convinced her, did he not? Yes, sir. Oh, God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, the very idea. In other words, woman, you are under his thumb. Assert yourself. You are an independent friend. Friend. God wants us to understand that while we're made in his image and his likeness, and we are rational, reasoning beings, and I have eyes, I can say, sure, that is a good-looking fruit. Yeah, and more than that, it's probably tasty. It wouldn't be a temptation otherwise. And old Satan said, hey, wait, what did God say? Thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Where do you intend to place your confidence? In whom do you plan to trust? On what basis do you hope to live forever in the bliss and the perfection of heaven? When salvation is by faith, there's no question about that. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then I need to listen and hear what the Lord has said. How is faith manifest? Just do what the Lord said. Now, many people have an idea that, wait a minute, I believe in God. Oh, that's wonderful. That's fine. That's absolutely essential. That's the basis, the foundation of a right relationship with him. No question. But I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to join this or do that. No. You see, the scriptures inspired of God furnish the man of God completely unto every good work. Isn't that what Paul said? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Every detail of my thinking, my conduct, should be regulated by a thus saith the Lord. So then, God's use of this term, wood, was specific. Noah didn't have a choice, I'm saying. He used the wood that God specified. Well, what does God call that? Faith. We read that, didn't we? Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith. Noah built the ark. Right. Verse 22 in chapter 6 of Genesis, the last verse. Thus did Noah, according to his opinion, according to what he thought, according to his reasoning, according to his excellent ability as a constructionist, No. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, friends, it worked. And it will always work. But if we decide that we, in our reasoning, just don't see any sense in that, and it is amazing that in many things that God requires, the human mind does not conceive of the benefit, the connection between the action required and the promise provided. Wait. You're being governed by human reasoning. No. Salvation is by faith. I need to learn that lesson. Well, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. What did Noah do? He just did what God said. That's called faith. Well, by the way, he was saved, he and his entire family, from the flood. We understand that. But let's notice another term that's used generically. The word church. Well, that's a generic term. Well, sure, there's no question about that. As a matter of fact, the assembly, as said from the Greek term ekklesia, ek, out, klesia, called out. Right. Well, any distinct body or organization separate from the balance of humanity could be accurately called a church. Well, there's no question about that. Well, I remember in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, you remember Stephen said that Noah was with the church in the wilderness. Well, wait a minute. The church had not been established at the... Wait. You're talking about the Lord's church, right? Oh no, the Lord's church had not been established, but the word church is generic. You see, as a matter of fact, many of your organizations today, excellent organizations, do a great deal of good work. They are exclusive. You have to have membership in that particular organization. The word church is adequate. Yeah, that describes it completely. Yes, sir. A distinct, called out, separate body. Oh, so then the word church can be used generically. Why, sure. Oh, but I remember in Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, Jesus came to the parts of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." Oh, but he saith unto them, "Who say ye that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." Now listen. "And upon this rock, this eternal truth that you've just confessed, I will build my church." Oh, and the fact that I'm to go into the Hadean world won't prevent the establishment of it at all. No. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. "Or now given to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven," through verse 19. But just a moment. Upon the eternal truth that Peter has confessed, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now, we have observed that the word church can be used generically, in a general sense, and it is applicable to a number of specific organizations. Why, certainly. Well, when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," now I need to understand what is involved. Why did Jesus come? Oh, Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Oh, mankind, as we've often noticed, in the transgression of Adam, was alienated from God. Paradise was lost. That's correct. "Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 5 at verse 12. Now, that's what the promise of Genesis 3 verse 15 was all about. The seed of the woman to bruise the head of Satan, etc. Suffering, of course, a minor wound, a bruised heel. We understand that. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, "Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now, just a moment. Christ came to deliver fallen, sinful humanity from the fear of death. Right. Well, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. We understand that. So Jesus came to save me from the guilt of sin. Right. Well, how did he express it here in verse 18 of Matthew? Oh, he said, "Upon this eternal truth, the fact that I am the Son of God," 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, "I will build my church. In other words, I'm going to call men out of the lost state into the saved state, right? We noted that Greek term ekklesia, didn't we? Yes, out in the ecclesia, called out of the lost state into the saved state. But exactly how does that occur? Well, I remember the Lord when He had His disciples under His tutelage for some 3.5 years, when He's about to ascend to the Father, He charged them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." So then these apostles were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, is rich toward all who call upon Him. For whosoever, whether it's a Jew or a Greek, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Oh, but then, this is, of course, from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. Paul continued. He said, "But how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Oh, so these apostles went forth and preached the gospel. Acts chapter 2, for instance, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, they proclaimed the death, burial, resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the good news of human redemption. And you remember Peter's sermon is recorded, of course, and his Jewish auditors, upon the preaching of the gospel, were cut to the heart. They believed what he said. They cried out in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Listen to Peter. He said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." Oh, verse 41 says, "They that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls." The significance of this added unto them in that day. Oh, verse 47. "The Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." Now, just a moment. When the Lord said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church," He's talking about His mission in the world, calling men out of the lost state into the saved state. How is that done? Well, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Well, so the gospel had to be preached, right? And those who believed it were in position to call upon the Lord, right? How do you call upon the Lord when you come to believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, when you understand God's love that made provision through the terrible sacrifice of His Son to provide for my salvation? How do I call upon the Lord? Well, friend, you turn away from the willful practice of sin. You know God wouldn't be pleased if you said, "Well, I want to be saved, but I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to begin." No, 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 no. We don't want to sin anymore. Sure, we make mistakes. Yes, we sin. We fall short. Oh, but I've given my heart to the Lord. I want to be like Him. I'm not going to willfully and deliberately walk in sin any longer. That's repentance. So we confess with our mouths what we believe in our hearts, as that eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Couldn't do that until Philip had proclaimed unto him the Christ, verse 35, Acts chapter 8. Then what does man do? He's baptized for the remission of his sins. Sure. The result? The Lord adds him to the church. Why? He's saved. How do you know he's saved? Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Oh, then baptism is for the remission of sins. That's right, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Scriptural baptism, of which there is but one, Ephesians 4 at verse 5, washes away our sins. Oh, indeed, Acts 22 at verse 16. Scriptural baptism puts one into Jesus Christ. Right, Galatians chapter 3 at verse 27. Yeah, but somebody says, "Now, preacher, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, the word church is used in a generic sense. But when you read the New Testament, there's only one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4. Well, that body is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And on and on. Colossians 1, verse 18, he is the head of the body of the church. Oh, Colossians 1, 24, for his body's sake, which is the church. How many bodies are there? One body, Ephesians 4, at verse 4. So what are we saying here? While the term church is used in a generic sense, just the word itself. No. Jesus said, I will build my church. Oh, his church consists of those who have been saved from the guilt of sin. That's right. His church is made up of those who, by faith, have acknowledged their faith and have turned from sin and have been buried with the Lord in baptism. Right. They're raised new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17. No question about that. So when we talk about the Lord's church, we're talking about the exclusive body of Christ over which he reigns as head. There are just as many bodies as there are heads from a spiritual, scriptural standpoint. Ah, yes, the church is made up of the redeemed, those who have been saved from sin. Now, there are many churches in the world today. However, these have no relationship to God, and there is no salvation to be found in human philosophy, following the manual or the discipline or the catechism or the confession of faith, the Book of Mormon, the Koran, on and on and on. There's no salvation involved in that kind of thing. As a matter of fact, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Or he that abideth in the teaching hath both the Father and the Son. Now you can read that in 2 John, the only chapter, verse 9. Friends, we need to check God's Word and remember that God gives specific instruction. The reason for that? Oh, salvation is by faith. Yes, but someone says, preacher, I don't always comprehend why God... You don't have to. No. That's why he makes such commandments. Do you trust the Lord? Noah, did you trust God? Oh, yeah. Well, how can I know that? Move by faith. That is, he just simply did what God said. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. Three decks or stories. One door in the side thereof, one window to a cubit upward, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. What don't Noah do? He just did what God said. That'll work every time. Every time. Yes, but someone says, I am an independent, intelligent... sure you are. We understand that. You're an intelligent creature, you're a reasoning, thinking creature, and you are capable. There's no question about that. Well, that has nothing to do with salvation. No. Salvation is a matter of faith. Well, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't it interesting? You know, we could talk about a number of things. Of course, time won't permit, but you just think for a moment about eating and drinking. If ever there was a generic expression, man, we can just eat and drink and almost anything. Some people like this, some people like that. And we'd... Oh, eating and drinking. You know, do you remember when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper? What is that, Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28? Sure. There at the Last Supper, which is the feast of the Passover, and there was no leaven in the bread, of course. So unleavened bread, he blessed it, gave to his disciples. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you, etc. And he took the cup also. This is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for many. Drink ye all of it. Oh, but he said in verse 29, I'll not drink of this fruit of the vine till I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Kingdom? Yes, that's the church we noticed, you remember, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Also today, the church meets on the first day of the week and among other things, observe the Lord's Supper. Right, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine. That's exclusive. Now, if you were just talking about eating and drinking in a generic sense, man, you could use milk and bread. You're just nothing like a soup of pinto beans and good old crusty cornbread. I mean, hey, that's good. No. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, it is specified. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 pointed out that if you pervert that, you eat and drink damnation to your own soul. That's sad. We need to take the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine. No, the amount is not important. It's not a matter of satisfying appetite or thirst. No, sir. It's an emblem showing forth the death and the coming of the Son of God. May God bless.